Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to a special bonus edition of the Paul Ryder Tapes. We will be back next week with the grand finale of the main series, but this week it's a special extended interview with Paul's mum, Linda Ryder.
The boys were very close when they were young, weren't they?
Very close.
Were they very similar to how they became as adults, or were they... Did they evolve differently?
No, Sean was very, never kept still, always on the go, never shut up. And Paul was very, not lethargic, but very come a day, go a day, and didn't... He was a worrier, but you would never have thought it.
So what was the relationship like between them when they were like 6 and 7?
Oh, they were like glue with one another. They went everywhere together, did everything together. It was only, well, I think the big crunch came as they grow older and, you know, the band took off. That's right. When they weren't like each other then.
So what do you think went wrong? Like, what do you think drove the wedge between them?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe it was more that Sean, being the front man, was getting a lot of attention. And
yeah, but Paul didn't want the attention. Him and Gary wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do the publicity or anything. No way. Yeah. And then I think perhaps as time went on and Bez was getting all the attention. I mean, you know, it was very frustrating to think that Paul was such a good musician. And yet he didn't seem to get the recognition that he should have got.
No, he didn't. It's very sad that he didn't actually get to hear all of those accolades. You know, it's like, why do people wait until something terrible happens before they...
Well, death sells, doesn't it? It's always has done, always will do.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go back to the days. We talked a little bit about Derek and his act. I want you to tell me a little bit more about the Derek and Barry's act and what kind of things they did and how funny they were.
Well, they started off in a folk group.
Yeah.
Different folk groups. Then they were together, then they split, then they were back together again. And then they decided that there would be a comedy duo. But... with music as well. A bit like old-time musical, really. So they got this sort of act together and Derek played various instruments and they bounced his comedy off Barry. And they played... Well, they did all the local hotels in Blackpool and working men's clubs and what have you.
So he was very musical in his own right, Derek, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, multi-talented. He could play... that's a banjo ukulele on the wall. He gave Manny his blue long neck banjo out of, you know, Manny, who was in Stone Roses and Primal Scream. He's got Derek's long neck, big long neck banjo. He had the accordion, ukulele. It was brilliant pianist.
Amazing. Yeah. Do you think he wanted Sean and Paul to get into music? Was he kind of behind the scenes, like, urging them to do what they did, do you think?
Well, they sort of saw what he was doing and decided for himself. And it was funny, the day that Paul had gone to Piccadilly with Derek and said he wanted to start a band, the very same day, Sean had been to see David Essex in That'll Be the Day, and he came in and said, I want to start a band, I want to be in That'll Be the Day like David Essex. And Paul said, oh, that's funny that, because I've decided I want to be in a band today.
Really? And so, that was because Paul had been to Piccadilly Radio with Derek, did he say?
Hmm. And when they did a session there, and he went with Derek, and coming back on the way home, he said, I think I'll be in a band.
Did you have any idea when they first started of how successful they were going to be?
Not a clue at all.
What did you think they would do?
I just thought they were doing it to keep themselves occupied and just entertain themselves. They always said they never wanted to be famous.
Did they really?
Don't want to be famous, we just want to do the indie music that they did. Because it wasn't top of the pop stuff that they did. It's just that they did Top of the Pops, it got popular.
Do you remember Paul watching Top of the Pops when he was 7 or 8? He talked about that a lot.
Well, we always watched Top of the Pops, but Paul never said very much, so he probably kept it to himself. You know, Paul was always very quiet, didn't say very much unless it was of the utmost importance.
And then he said that he started to have bass lessons, but it clashed with watching Top of the Pops. Do you remember that?
Well, he started to have bass lessons. Somebody came to the house to teach him the bass. We found him a tutor. And then after that, he said, I don't want him to come anymore, because like Derek with the piano, when the piano teacher told his mother, he was putting things in that wasn't in the sheet music. Well, Paul had started putting his own twiddly bits in that the teacher wasn't telling him to, you know. So we stopped the told the teacher not to come again. And at the time, they did a programme on television. I can't remember how to play. And one of them was how to play the bass, and he used to watch it. So we sent off for the teaching tapes, and he got the teaching tapes, but then he had a little setup in his bedroom that his dad had built him, and he'd built himself. So he puts his own twiddly bits in.
Did it bother you, the sound of him practicing?
No, because we had my mum's when we got married, my mum sent my piano with me. Derek had a guitar, and when Sean was little, when he was a baby, and when Paul was a baby, I used to be on the piano. Derek could be on the guitar, and we'd give them a tin plate with a spoon, and they'd bang the tin plate with a spoon. Or a pan lids for cymbals. So it's never bothered me, the noise.
So Paul talks a lot about how you were very cool parents. Yeah, he said that you weren't the typical parents, and you were very kind of liberal and understanding with the way you were.
I suppose we were, really. But I suppose it's because Derek was different. My mum used to say, why don't you get a nice boy? And I'd say, I've got a nice boy, but it's different. I don't want the norm.
Just describe how, when you say Derek was very different, describe him, how he was different? Like, what made him different?
Quite flamboyant in his dress. You wouldn't think it in later years. He turned into the Man in Black.
Yeah.
He'd wear nothing but black. But he was always the height of fashion. I suppose Sean and Paul probably take after him for that. It was like two opposites attract. You know, I wasn't a bit like him and he wasn't a bit like me. But then we found out that we both like... In fact, he thought I had a funny eye because I was so shy I wouldn't look at him. And he told his friend he'd met this girl. But it was a shame, really, because she had this funny eye that looked away. we found out that we both liked Fats Domino. And then I had a pen friend in America, and I used to get a lot of records sent to me before they came out over here. So that was probably what attracted him to me, that I had all the latest records.
And who were the records by?
Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis, Chuck Berry. People who was famous in America, but you hear them now, but not over here at that particular time.
And what was the setup like at home in terms of playing the records? Like, would you play them in the kitchen and while the kids were exposed to all that music?
Well, it wasn't so much after we'd had the children, but then by that time, when they were growing up a little bit, we'd got this record collection. And they'd come and take ours and play them in the room. And then the majority of our records, especially all the Duane Eddy ones, ended up on the Albion jukebox. They used to took them in the pub and they put them on the jukebox there. We never got them back.
And when they got a bit older and punk started coming along, did you get into the music that they were into, or did you find that like, or did you understand their musical tastes as they were developing as teenagers?
Some of it. Derek did. He was always looking for new bands and new ideas and stuff like that. Some of it I didn't. I didn't like the Sex Pistols. I appreciated them years later, you know, what they'd done and what they were doing. And in fact, down the line, as years had gone by, I met quite a few of them at different social functions that we were at.
So Derek ended up being able to give up his job to work with the band when they started to become successful. Tell me a bit about that.
Well, before that, he hired a van, he ran them, he did the sound. The very first tapes we did was what they called the bungalow tapes, which is around the corner from where I am now, in my mum's bungalow, and she'd had a dormer put on and they'd got microphones dangling down the stairs. And I've still got all the tapes. I've not got rid of any of the boys' early tapes, I've got them all. And I've still got all the rejection letters, London Records, Capitol Records, you name it. Who are you like? We're not like anybody, but you need to be like somebody. This is what they used to write down. You need to get an image. What do you dress like? Well, they dress like from the underground market in Manchester, Phil Saxe's stall.
Yeah, amazing. At what point did you think, oh my goodness, they've made it? Like, when did it click with you that this is more than just a hobby for them and they're actually doing this properly now?
When Factory signed them. Factory signed them, and Anthony Wilson sent me a great big case of champagne. And then when they were on, I think it was The Other Side of Midnight that Tony Wilson did. My dad had come out of hospital quite poorly. And that was my mum. She was saying about, oh, I want to see them on the telly. And it was the week after she died that they made it onto the other side of Midnight. Then my dad, he got quite poorly not long after. And that's when they were on Top of the Pops. And he said, I kept saying, come on, Dad, go and get into bed. We'll get you upstairs. I want to see the boys on the telly. And he watched them on the telly. We took him up to bed and he died the next day.
Oh,
so he got his wish of seeing them on the telly.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Something else happened with the factory when Anthony Wilson, some big deal, I can't quite remember what it was. It was either the signing or...
Could it have been the Battle of the Band, winning the Battle of the Bands contest?
No, that was before Factory, wasn't it?
There was another one that Factory put on and the winners of that got to release a single. Is that what you're talking about?
That's right, yes, yes. So then I got a case of miniature bottles of vodka of Anthony Wilson. And it's the first time I'd never had a drink in my life. Till I was in the 40s. I'd never been interested in alcohol. And I got the champagne, and then Anthony Wilson said, they used to say to me, oh, come on, mother, have a drink. Rax, have a drink. And Tony Wilson sent me, it was like a thing of cardboard box with all these miniature bottles of vodka. All different flavours, and they were lovely, except the peppered one. I didn't like that. And Tony Wilson never called Derek Derek, and he never called me Linda. He always called me Mrs. Ryder and Mr. Ryder. And Derek once asked him, why didn't he call him Derek? And he said, that is a sign of respect.
Oh, he was brilliant, Tony, wasn't he? What a brilliant... Yeah. Brilliant man. I mean, I've met a few celebs in my time, but he's the one that I was starstruck whenever I was in his presence. Like, there's just, he had an aura about him, didn't he? Like a kind of magic about him.
His dad used to have the paper shop at Row Green round the corner from where we were, because he used to always call to our house when he'd been to see his dad.
Get to the point where Derek... has been able to give up. Do you remember when Derek made that decision to give up his job?
Derek was doing everything and he was driving them all over the country, and he'd get in about 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was working at the post office at the time. And he used to wake me up and say, can you stay awake for 3/4 of an hour while I go to sleep and then go on to work? And it got to the stage where, you know, he couldn't do it any longer and decided that I was working at the time, so he went for it.
And how did you feel about that?
I took everything in my stride, really. You know, I'm just sort of easygoing, and what will be, will be. One thing Derek did feel guilty about, and... No, the boys never ever knew this. And he felt really bad at letting Derek down, Barry down. And it was at the time the boys was just taking off. And they were offered a big contract on the cruise ships. And they were going to give the jobs up to go and do the cruise ships. They were offered this. And Derek just said to Barry, I'm sorry, Barry, the way things are looking, the job situation for, you know, at the time, he said, I've got to encourage the boys in the band. He said, so I'm going to concentrate on them and not do it myself anymore.
It seems to me like Derek was totally the person that was driving the machine.
It was, because my family gave me opportunities. If I wanted to do anything, they gave me the opportunity. Derek's family wasn't like my family, and he didn't get opportunities. He didn't get backup off his parents and what have you. You know, you reach a certain age, you get out to work and get a job. And he always said he never wanted to be like that. He would, you know, let his own children, if they wanted to do something, he would back them 100%, no matter what it was.
Yeah. Do you remember first reading about them in the papers?
I stopped reading the papers, any bad publicity. And people used to say, oh, and used to say, sorry, it's news to me. I don't read the gutter press. I read the Guardian, the reviews of the concerts, not all bad press.
So one of Paul's main reasons for wanting to do this podcast was to put right some of the lies and some of the myths and some of the untruths that had been told about the band. Is there anything that particularly annoyed you that you heard that completely wasn't true, that you want to put right?
Oh, lots of it. But then if I spoke out, I'd spoil the myth, wouldn't I? So I never said a word. I never denied anything, or I just used to be in Bolivia of it, you know, as if it didn't happen because I didn't read it. And that's what made me a bit of a mystery woman, I think, really. But I would never spoil the illusion. And Derek used to say, there's no such thing. All publicity is publicity. Take no notice of it. So I had to switch off like that. It was very hard at times, being at school. But then it never bothered me, because I thought, people who know us, really know the family. No, it's not like that.
So the band broke up, and then Paul went through a very difficult time that you were right on the edge of, because he was living with you. That must have been really, really difficult.
Very, very stressful, because we had the children and we had to keep everything as normal as possible for the children. Yeah. And we also had to support Paul and get him well.
Yeah. Did you always believe that he would come out of it and he would be okay eventually? Or did you ever lose hope?
I didn't lose hope, but I didn't know what to believe. My philosophy is, just take each day as it comes. Yeah. Live each day as it comes and accept what you've got to face. I think I've always been a bit like that, you know. You don't judge people. You accept, it's part of who I am. You accept the good with the bad, and you just get on with it.
He talks a lot, obviously, about his drug issues and trying to get off drugs and everything. And you and Derek were always very supportive of that and non-judgmental, which I know he was really grateful for. But that must have been really, well, I know, because I lived alongside it with you for a lot of the time. How did you cope with that?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know how we got through it, because we always had to think of the children. So you just had to, if I thought, I'd probably have ended up breaking down myself, but you've got to think of the children. And I still had to work. I still had to carry on with children in my work. So it was very, very hard. And you keep on a brave face. And you don't judge.
Did you ever lose hope that he wouldn't be able to stop taking drugs and that that would be the end of him? Did you ever, or did you always keep hope that he would come through that as he did?
Always hope.
But those were some rough old days, weren't they?
They certainly were. Derek always had a saying that God only gives it to them that can take it. And when they thinks they've had it, when he thinks they've had enough, he gives them a rest for a while, then it's back to the grindstone. And I've always believed in that.
Very, very true. Did you go to Barbados when they were recording Yes Please?
Yes, I did, yeah. I took Jacob and Amelia on a plane. Not on my own, with Simon Machin's then girlfriend, who had a little girl. And everything while I was in Barbados that 3 week, I've got lovely photographs with Sean. Everything seemed to be fine and dandy when I was around. I stayed in Sam Lord's castle.
Right.
They stayed in Eddie Grant's place.
Right.
So I wasn't always around. I was with Derek and the children in Sam Lord's castle. And I think after I came home, we were hearing these stories and I'm thinking, oh my God, what on earth is going to happen next? I certainly can't ever say I've had a dull life.
No.
Definitely not.
Like, I think if you were to choose the boys being plumbers or carpenters or just doing something kind of stable or doing what they've done, you'd probably pick the life that they've had for them, wouldn't you?
Yes. They've had experiences, and so have I, that not many people have had.
Yeah, yeah. So after that, it all fell apart and Paul fell apart for a while and things didn't go very well.
Yeah, it was horrendous, really, because all the eggs were in the same basket, weren't they? Paul, Derek, and we'd got Jacob and Amelia with us, and Paul was living with us, and there was only me working. So it was very hard. It was a struggle. It was like keeping, what? 2, 4, 5 people off just my wage.
So let's fast forward to 2012 when it was announced in The Sun, and first Paul knew of it was when he read it in The Sun that the band were reforming with all of the original members with the original lineup. How did you feel when you heard that that was happening?
I believe it when I see it.
Did you think it would happen or not?
Yes. Yeah, at the back of my mind, I always thought it would happen.
Yeah.
Because it's like history repeating itself along with so many other bands, isn't it? I always hoped it would happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was nice to see old faces again.
Were you worried that Paul and Sean would never agree to work together again after they first split up? Did you think that would be it, or did you always know that they would kind of reconcile?
Well, did they reconcile? They worked together, and they were always, always very diplomatic at family do's, family occasions. You'd have thought nothing was wrong. I've got to thank them for that, and I admire them for it. That anything family, it didn't boil over into family functions.
Right.
Not like some people. It was very diplomatic,
Did you think it would go on as long as it did?
I never, ever, ever thought they'd go on this long. You see, bands, when they're younger, they come and they go. And I never, ever... I don't think either of us did. Thought it would go on for over 30 years.
As a mother, how proud are you of their achievements?
Oh, very proud. Very proud.
What about when people ask you, are you related? Tell me about how it happens to you quite a lot, doesn't it?
I just play it down. They recognise the name. And I just say, yes. So they say, well, what relation are you? And I'm the mother. Oh. But people, whenever they meet me and recognise me, they do not associate me. And even my own doctor said, when we see you, I mean, the new Paul, because he was, we can't piece together the way you are and your family are and the publicity. They read, right. You know, they read about the band.
Yeah. Because you're so prim and proper, aren't you?
Oh, Anna, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, brilliant. We'll do more on the 24th when Sandra's coming.
Well, I don't think I've got much more I can say. Oh, there's plenty more. No doubt Sandra will.
There's plenty more. Plenty more. No, that's been brilliant. Thank you so much.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
That's all we have for this week, but we've got plenty more from Linda and Linda and Sandra coming up in other bonus episodes. Please join us next week for the grand finale of the series. Here's a sneak peek.
The window was open and I crept up behind you and grabbed the phone off you.
I don't remember.
And saw
this
text thread conversation with you and this woman.
Oh.
It was obviously there was something going on between you, so I called her.
We met Ronnie Biggs, a great singer. Well, it's nice to meet somebody who plays such a, an historical moment in British history. And, we met Piers Morgan, who actually said that spiked his burger.
So it was like me and you and your new partner and her ex-husband,
yeah.
And their kids all around the Christmas dinner table.
Yeah.
Which is actually really cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a really good day.
Yeah.
People still talk about that Christmas dinner.
Before drugs and everything, I was more of a beer monster, and they disappeared, and I wondered why they're coming back happy. What are they doing? Well, they're smoking weed, weren't they? They didn't tell me about it.
The other project that you're doing in collaboration with Gaz is a movie.
Is the movie.
The movie.
So it's about a Manchester band who existed 25 years ago, and they're offered this great chance to get back together.
Right.
With a unsavoury type manager.
Last time I played with him, he wasn't ill. You know, he was happy. You know, he didn't even, the thing with the fire and stuff, he just was like, you know, he wasn't bitter about anything. You know, he seems to be fine. Happy with his kids, happy with everything, you know, and grandchildren. So in a way, that's all, because you've got to look at the good things.
Playing out this week with a demo track that Paul did with his Los Angeles collaborator Matt Cheadle. It's got room for a guest vocal in the verse, so let me know who you think would be good to add some singing to this. The track is called Scandalize and I really love it. Have you given us a review yet? If you've not, please, I know it's boring, but please do. It really will help us. And also, if you're watching this on the YouTube channel, please subscribe. I want to say a big thank you to Tom, Ryan and Jacoby Good for becoming our new patrons of the show. And thank you to all of our patrons who actually paid for this show to be edited, which really, really does make a difference when people support us like that. So we really appreciate you. Please go to our Patreon account, which is patreon.com/thePaulRyderTapes and join in the club. Also, you can go to our website, which is paulrider.tv, to check out the merch in our shop and to check out the links to our socials. Lots of chat going on there, lots of really good stuff, so do please check us out. All right, lots of love to you all. Big, big thanks to the amazing Linda Ryder for being the special bonus edition guest this week. And of course, as usual, big love and thanks to the big man himself, the star of the show, the late, great Paul Anthony, Big Arm Ryder. So don't forget, please join us again next week for the grand finale. Lots of love to everyone and see you next week. Bye.
Listening Productions.